I'll say this is we actually have a cousin with us today too. Right there, Perry. You want to raise your hand, Perry? Stand up. No.
So he also has roots in this church. So we were in Orlando for 4 years and we wanted to go back into field ministry. So we went to Chicago with Crew to work in the city ministry of Crew. And we were with Crew for 7 years.
And it was
more.
One thing that doesn't happen as much, even just reading the lyrics, but singing the song, "This Is My Father's World," which just talks about the beauty of creation. In the city, we don't get to see that as much. So
not true. It's
good.
Just different.
Yeah, you got to search for it there. It's a little harder to find, but that was
no stars,
refreshing.
Though.
Yeah, you can't see the stars. We're gonna talk. I guess we'll jump into kind of what we're doing currently.
Yeah.
I guess too, as we'll go through the slides, I'll let you know when to tap forward, and we might have to have you go back since we're tag teaming it.
Is your name
we do
Gabe?
This.
Is it Gabe? Thank you, Gabe. Uh-huh. We brought a lot of slides.
Maybe you could just share, starting in 2019 was our first connection to this organization who is a partner ministry with Crew, who we had worked with, and Mandy can share about her initial touch points with that.
So in 2019, I was asked to go on a vision trip, a Crew vision trip with an organization called Filter of Hope. And it's an organization that brings clean water. Here's the motto, sharing clean water and the gospel with people in desperate need of both. So Filter of Hope seeks to, we'll share more, but bring clean water to homes and use it to share the gospel. So it was a really incredible opportunity to meet both spiritual and practical needs on a trip, and I signed up right away. In Latin America, I love Latin America. So I was on board and I went to Cuba. And so since then, I've been 2 more times. Brandon's been once. And we sensed over the last year, God calling us to say, we were invited to consider coming on staff with Filter of Hope. We prayed about it and the Lord led us this direction. So
we spent a few years where we met, like we said, in Mexico. So Mandy's fluent in Spanish, which obviously comes in handy when you're in a Spanish-speaking context. And I'm conversational. I can get by, not as good as her, but that's one of the reasons, too, as we consider this ministry, that it was a win. If you could go ahead and click to that next slide.
Thank you.
This is the situation in some places in the world. This is a river where they're taking their water. Most of the places we go in Latin America, they're not taking out of the river, but in some places they are. But in all the places we go, they cannot drink the water that comes out of their taps without getting sick, or if they have to take it out of a stream or something like that. So that's just kind of the reality of what it's like. Go ahead and go to the next one. You can start with that.
So the need is staggering. Every 2 minutes, a child dies from a water-related disease. And there are more than 2 billion people in the world who drink contaminated water, putting them at risk for waterborne disease. And even more, 5 billion people have never heard how to know Jesus, the living water.
But as it says, there's hope. And we have a tiny, tiny part in this with the organization we're a part of. At Filter of Hope, we have 2 driving passions. No one should have to live without clean drinking water. And the next is that everyone deserves the opportunity to know Christ personally. So this is the heartbeat of what we do week in, week out. You can go ahead and go to the next one.
This is the water filter. So it's a small but effective water filter that changes lives. It's packed in a quart-sized bag, so it's portable. It connects to a bucket in just minutes.
Maybe I could just start demonstrating it now.
Sure.
While you're talking.
Go for it.
So we wanted to actually show you what it's like when we go into a home. So actually, I was in Panama. I'll talk about that in a minute. 8 weeks ago today, and went with a church in the Indianapolis area. And so the members of the church, along with translators, representatives from local churches, we go into homes. But we wanted to show you how this works. And so go ahead and continue talking about it.
Okay. So, as I said, it connects to a bucket in just minutes. So, when we go into homes, which we'll explain a little bit more, the format of what the trips look like, Filter of Hope has 2 main focuses. The water and the gospel. But then also, we bring short-term mission trips, ministries and churches on short-term mission trips. So that's one part of Filter Pope short-term mission trips. We'll talk about that now. And then also later, we seek to support ministries reaching unreached people groups. So,
we'll
yeah.
just start.
Go for it.
Kind of with, maybe I'll have to yell a little, or you can hold that for me.
Okay.
So we would ask every, you want to hold that for me up?
Yeah.
We would ask every home that we go to, we would ask the families to provide a bucket. And then, so they give the bucket within this small pack. It comes with this handheld tool, and we simply, this has already got a hole, but you just take a little bit, push some pressure, cut the hole in it. It's actually a pretty amazing process. We want the people we are with to actually do it themselves or watch us do it, because these filters, as she said, can last up to 10 years if they're taken care of well. And so they might actually, the bucket might die in some form before this does. So we want them to really be paying attention and engaging with us.
And we leave instruction.
All right. So if you want to explain this since you have a mic, babe.
Sure. So Brandon is taking the filter components. He's taking it apart. We'll help them install it. This is the first part of what we do in a home after connecting with the family. So he'll insert this part.
And it has a washer on the outside, a washer on the inside, kind of simple plumbing in a way.
And it has a fine mesh filter to initially filter out any of the dirt, the bigger pieces. But it's made from the same technology as kidney dialysis machines. So it can filter up to... like any bacteria.
Yeah, down to 0.1 microns. So the largest or the smallest bacteria are 0.2 microns. And so anything that could get someone sick gets caught in this. And so people won't get sick. And they won't get sick potentially up to 10 years. Some of these have been in the field longer than that, so they can last at least that long.
That's just how long they've been invented. So it will filter up to 250 gallons of water a day. Not super quick, as you'll see, but it can produce a lot of water, more than just for one family. We track them so we can know where they're going. There's a little code here that we scan. I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Forgive
else.
Me if some water gets on your bench here.
Yeah, I need to move stuff. So we'll have them go fill their bucket after we've installed the filter. And we're doing this in homes. So as we bring up, we divide up the mission teams into groups of like 3 to 5 people who, like Brandon said, that we go into a home with a translator and a representative of the local church. And that is one of the things that drew us to this organization from the beginning, is how we get to come alongside and support the local church and their mission into their neighbors. So we'll talk about one mission team can, over the course of a week, reach a whole community with the gospel as we go through and just go home by home. And the church representative has gone before us and has, they're the ones who are leading us into the homes. They've connected with the home in order to make sure they have a bucket to explain that we're coming to share the gospel and clean water. So they're ready for us. And it honestly just feels like we're walking in the good works that God has prepared in advance for us. Like, it is just an incredible model. We're really excited.
Little dance here. So when we end up doing this in the home, so we get their water, it's contaminated water, but we want them to see visibly how this works, and so we put dirt in it, and that's what I'm going to do here, so you guys will be able to actually see how it works too.
This is Muncie dirt.
Muncie dirt.
And it's really gross. It's from my backyard. My parents' backyard. You want me to hold the bucket up?
Sure.
Okay. It's gravity fed, so it needs to be lifted high, and the water filters powered by gravity. I know. It wasn't working super powerfully last night.
We were doing some air bubble stuff yesterday happening, which is actually kind of what happens.
I wonder what's going on. So we're new. We're new, so we're still figuring out how troubleshooting works. There's plenty to learn. That was a weird section. Did you hear it?
Let's see if this is actually going to work. We did it yesterday and it worked.
Yeah. So whatever we are doing wrong is only us, because this doesn't happen in the homes. Can I put it down because it's hurting?
It's heavy.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe I'll get Caleb to come up here. Do you want to help us? Thank you.
I'm actually going to try
to backwash it because we didn't do it last night.
Hold that.
Oh, yeah. So another aspect of the filter that's really important is keeping, I want you to hang out just a sec because you're going to hold it up because I'm not strong enough, is keeping them clean. So we'll instruct them in the proper way to keep them clean, which is backwashing it three times. Backflushing it, is that the right way to say it? And so we'll do that because that's really important. It will last for 10 years if they properly maintain them.
And what I just did was what I'm not supposed to do.
So literally we're new. So we practiced last night, and it may have been that we left dirt in it. I don't know. So we'll go through this part of the, we'll do the filter, we'll share the filter. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Is it working?
Yes.
Okay, we hold that. Doesn't Caleb's gonna hold it up. Yeah, hold it up, sweetie. Thank you. So I'll go ahead and read this story. So in a town called Hacienda San Diego, which is a village in El Salvador, so that was fun to see that on the video this morning. They ran out of anti-diarrhea and anti-parasite medicine every rainy season. And so the lines were long. They had medicine sometimes stolen. But then an American church donated enough filters for the entire community, 175. And so after the following rainy season, the community health director reported that those after the season, the shelves were still filled with medicine because they didn't need it. They didn't run out. Not only did they not run out, they didn't even need it because not a single family, because of having water filters, had asked for medicine. Did it work?
Yes, and thank so, we got to demonstrate one of the problems is, well, I guess in some ways these are delicate, but you can't have air bubbles in there or it can cause problems and eventually won't work, and that's what I think we had done from actually not cleaning it last night, backflowing it. So we just did that, and it's running normal. But what we do in the homes after we end up doing this, it works, is we take a drink of their water first. So obviously the water here is safe, but I did dump a bunch of Muncie dirt in. And I wanted to see if there's one volunteer who would want to come up and take a drink of what was previously this dirty water. Anyone who wants to trust it that they're Ben like, does. It'll be okay. All right, our son will come up. Come on up, Ben.
Isn't he cute?
He's trusting.
This is actually his first drink of water from a filter. We hope to bring them on a trip. We haven't yet. We haven't been on one yet together. Wow, child, you are dehydrated. Thank you, Peanut.
I'd say one of the highlights on our trips is every home we go into, people end up drinking it after us reluctantly, because they know what they're drinking. They see it. But then the smiles and the sense of them grasping at least a little bit what this is and what it means and that it tastes normal or good is pretty powerful for people.
And I would say, too, that another highlight is you can bring kids. Like watching Ben do that, kids can demonstrate how to install the filter. Kids can share the gospel. Everyone gets a role in the homes, and so it's fun to see everybody learn and grow through that experience.
Can you hold the mic for me while I talk real briefly about that?
Yes.
So when we are in the homes, we transition from, once we've talked about the filter, is this mic on? Is it working okay? It is normal? Okay. we end up asking them, is it okay now if we talk to you about God, his love for you, and how we use the filter to express that? And in every home, at least that I've been in, and it's the norm, people say yes. They know ahead of time because a church member's talked to them that we want to both give them a filter and talk to them about God and his love. So we end up using this where we'll say, you getting tired?
No, it's just funny.
Okay. All right.
You'll go for it.
We'll say this dirty water here represents our lives before God. We are dirty. We're sinful. We're rebellious people. And we're separated. And the dirt represents that. This is what our life looks like before him. And then we'll say, and this is God. He is holy and good. And there can't be, these two can't go together. So we express that through this. And then as we continue to talk, we'll share verses with them about God's love and our sinfulness. And then as we talk about Jesus as the unique solution that God sent, I will often pick up the filter and explain Jesus is the true and better water filter, the only one that can clean us just like this has cleaned this water to make you safe. He's the only one that can clean us and make us right with God. And then I'll often say, so what happened, though it is a mystery, what happened is that us dirty people and God in Christ, the clean, he trades places with us. He takes our dirt and we take his righteousness. And I always, when I'm talking with people, I never know how to explain for what reason people get this simple but clear message in ways that we have never seen before. Maybe it's that they've been prepped to receive this filter and they know that's a big deal. But there's something about using this illustration, them seeing it, talking through it. The responsiveness, at least as we have done this in Latin America, it's just unlike stuff we have ever seen before. People get it. People say, I want Jesus. I want his cleansing. I want his forgiveness. And it's amazing to see in so many of the homes. This last place, well, I was in Panama. Maybe I could. I'll quote this.
Thank you.
When I was in Panama, we gave out 73 filters, visited 70 homes, our groups did. We had a chance to share the gospel personally, face-to-face. We're in each home for around an hour each with around 125 people. And 97 prayed with us to say yes to Jesus. And we don't necessarily see 75% like or 80% everywhere we go, but it just kind of mind-blowing. And then there's a church representative with us to connect them to the church, to connect them to follow-up. And they know every home, what happened in the home. It's powerful.
It's wet.
It's wet. The Bibles are wet.
The Bibles are wet. So we will leave Vida Abundante Nuevo Testamento, and we'll leave a New Testament in the home, and we'll read some of the passages from there. We'll also leave a little handout that also explains the gospel. We have a sticker we'll put on the bucket that also represents the gospel. But it is the church who does the follow-up afterwards, and we've worked to help equip the churches to follow up. We are working on a new Bible version that includes the follow-up materials inside the Bible. And Gabe, if you could go to the next slide.
We've already hit on a few of these stats. It takes about, 45 minutes or so to fill a 5-gallon bucket with the water with about the time it takes. But this is just some of those things. And then the filters are now in use in about 84 countries, and it just slowly increases as we make new connections. And then there's 225,000 filters that are in use globally now.
The next one, thank you. So the short-term mission trips, like I said, was the original form the ministry took. So these are the countries in Latin America we take mission trips to. And like I said, we're just there to support the local church. The local church is the hero. We just come and we get the opportunity to open doors for them that they might not have opened themselves. A mission team, like I said, can bring clean water to an entire community in 1 week. But then we're also sharing the gospel. We've had over 13,000 participants have been on trips, with 65,000 filters distributed, and we now have 30 mission bases in 12 countries. So that keeps growing. Could you go to the next slide, please? Thank you.
And we had said in every home that we go to, so in my Panama trip, I wasn't with this group, but she was the translator who went with us. He was the church representative in the trip. And then these are a couple people from Indianapolis area. And this was the gal that the group talked to there. And they got a picture with her. And then this guy here, Serban, he's the national director for Filter of Hope in Panama as well as Guatemala. And he does all the, he sets up all the trip details on in that side of the country, including the translators. He does all the work.
He connects with all the churches.
And yeah, that's a big thing he does, is he's connecting with the pastors of usually their small churches, like the church that I was in Panama. Much smaller than this. Dogs in the neighborhood running through the middle of the service. I mean, we're kind of just out, and it's unique. And it was hot. It was hot while we were there. But it's a different setup, but that's where they were gathering for worship that week.
And if you could go to the next slide. Thank you. So here's a quote from a staff member of Crew in Arkansas. It was an incredible, life-changing trip for everyone. In 21 years of ministry, I've never seen God do so much in such a short time. I fully expect 100 U of A students will go next spring break. And that is just what we've seen. It's just a really great opportunity for ministries to come. Gabe, can you pass on to the next one? Thank you. So this is my first trip. I'm on the left. I brought a few people from Chicago with me just to check it all out.
Particularly the really tall guy.
Yeah, Paul. He was one of Brandon's disciples, and I discipled Margo. So this couple is the home. Okay, this is Jaime. He's the church representative. This is Lydie. So she was the translator. And this is the couple that we were coming to meet. But then, and so as we're explaining the filter, he showed up. I don't remember the order. He showed up. Everyone just kept showing up. Like, she was here. These two people were here. People just kept coming. And it was so fun. So we just had filters. We passed them out to the neighbors, explained it to everybody. And then when we shared the gospel, the receptivity and the engagement in the conversation just blew me away. This big room in this small Cuban home, everyone is just so excited about the gospel, hearing it, some hearing it for the first time, some people not. But then when I asked if they wanted to pray to receive the gift of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, they all said yes. We gathered in this room, this small room, holding hands while I led this large group of people to faith. And it was just such an incredible opportunity. And this is outside the home. But later, so I was talking to Jaime, and I said, this place, I can't believe how open people are to the gospel. It's almost like it feels like a revival. And he said, well, it is. There is a revival going on. And I said, well, how long has that been the case? And he said, well, since the arrival of the filters. Like, for them, it was just the opening of the doors for them to get the opportunity to share the gospel in a way that's just very clear and visual. So, I mean, I was just so blown away by how God is at work. That was in Cuba, and God is just at work. He's at work in Cuba. He's at work in the world. But a lot of people need the dots connected, and so it's just a great opportunity. What? I keep forgetting.
That's okay. I would say one of the things, what's unique, we haven't actually talked to Pastor Nathan about this, and this could be something in the future, but you can go on these trips. It's for everyone, pretty much, that would want to go on a trip, they can go. And what's one of the things that's just so refreshing, here in the U.S., as we're becoming more post-Christian, secularized, it's a slow process for people that are outside the faith to come to faith. There's a lot more just distinct barriers that have kind of arisen over the last 10 years, but kind of building over 60, 100 years. It's a slow, slow game to get to faith. But what we found as we're here, one, there's a Catholic background in the culture. They're not as tech-driven. There's just a lot of things that are different. And so you just end up being a part of seeing where we're in a sowing season with a little reaping here and there, I'd say, as far as people's responsiveness. Many of these places we go, they're just ready. They just need a clear explanation, a clear demonstration. They want to hear about Jesus now. They're grateful you came and talked to them. And it's refreshing as we kind of live in the daily grind of our life here, especially when it comes to faith and maybe a family member, a neighbor, someone who's like, I'm not there. It's just a beautiful season here. I don't know how long this window or door will be open where the openness is so great, but we're just grateful to be a part of it right now. One quick story I'll tell. We don't have a picture to go with it, but We went into, when I was in Panama 8 weeks ago, we went into, my group went into the home of what ended up just being one kid. He looked like he was probably about 12. I found out he seemed pretty under or malnourished. He ended up being 18. So I was like, wow, he's my son's age. And he's by himself, very shy. But the church member had talked to him and his mom prior to us coming. And so his name was Adonis. And so we came to his home. He welcomed us as best as he could. He said his mom's at work. And so he's just by himself in our group of five, you know, with the translator and church member were there. As we talked, he began to soften up, open up. I asked him the question. I was like, what about the neighborhood or what about here do you like? And he told me nothing. So I don't know if that means he's really depressed or life is super hard or what. Knowing he didn't have a dad, that was burdening for me. You know, growing up without a dad is a big deal wherever that happens, or any parent, but I'd say for sure for dad. And so I knew that was a difficult thing he faced, is just no dad in his life. But as we transitioned from the water bucket, which was cool to see him engage as we did that with him and showed him how to do it, we transitioned to the gospel. And Adonis, I don't know if I would just say, as we talked, he seemed a little lighter. He seemed engaged. He was listening. And when we got to the point of saying, like, basically, do you understand this, what God has done, and would you want to invite him? He's like, yes, I would. And so he prayed with our group to receive Christ. My hope and what it appeared is that there was a real legitimate thing that happened, that God did enter into his life. As I left and felt burdened for him, I was like, God, may this be good soil in a sense that this has found, this message has found. Would you bring men into his life? Would you help the church connect with him? I think he needs family. I don't know all the stuff he needed. But even as I was setting up the bucket in his kitchen, figuring out where's a good place for this, I'm still burdened for him, and I pray for him some. He said yes to Jesus, and we're really hopeful that the church connection that he now has will bring that. We hope his mom is open to this, because his mom wasn't there, too. And so every home we go into, whether it ends up being just one person, we'll spend an hour with them, or whether, like Mandy's experience and some of mine, you might have 10 people, whole families, just kind of New Testament times, whole families will be with you. Whole families will make a decision together at times. Not everyone, but at times. And it's beautiful and powerful to see.
Are you keeping track of time?
Yeah, I think we've got about 5 minutes left.
Okay. So could you go to the next slide, please, Gabe? Thank you. So this is what our role is in the beginning. We're ministry coordinators. So we're enlisting churches and ministries for trips. We're organizing all the logistics for those teams. Filter Pope does all the logistics. The teams just show up. We're guiding mission team leaders through all of it, all that goes into getting ready to go. And we get to go on some of the trips and just serve them and help lead those trips. So those are our kids. That's Chicago. So if you go to the next slide, please. Thank you. So the other part of Filter of Hope that I mentioned earlier came as a result of the pandemic. You know, God brings good things from hard things. And so when all the trips were shut down, the opportunities arose, the doors were opened for Filter of Hope to come in and bring filters to support ministries among the unreached people groups. So there's 5.33 billion people living in the 1040 window, and they... So we have now partnerships in 17 countries, 17 UPG, Unreached People Group countries.
How this works is we end up connecting with someone who works either with a missions organization. We find out about nationals through different connections that live in these countries, and then we'll send them 50 filters. They will either in their communities or go somewhere, maybe in places where not many people go, but they definitely don't have clean water. And then after that, let's say it's real fruitful, they're able to connect the gospel message in a way that in these places where there's can be high persecution or it's very difficult, then we might send them 150 filters 3 months later, and then they continue to be able to take this and use it as a way to get into people's homes. I always think in the U.S., like, we have no ways really to get into people's homes to give them something that they like so desperately need, and then that opens doors for us to talk about Jesus and what he's done. But with this ministry, it's so unique. I mean, it's going to change their lives physically. They won't be going to the hospital. They won't be buying medicine. They don't have to buy bottled water. It's just, there's so many levels that what is basic and a given for us to turn on the faucet, Maybe we want to filter it because it tastes a little better, but we can drink that water, but that's just not true in so many places.
Yeah. And also on this, there are some countries missing for security reasons. Gabe, can you go to the next one, please? So here's a quote from Pakistan. People desperately need pure drinking water in Pakistan. We have distributed filters to different families, and all I can say is, wow, the families received us so well with the filter and the good news of the gospel. You go to the next one. Thank you.
And then this quote from a pastor in Thailand. When we gave them the filters and taught them how to use them, they had tears of gratitude for what they received. Also, this was a gift from God for families to come to know him. There were so many people who opened their hearts to believe and follow Jesus.
And if you could go to the next one. Thank you. So clean water and the gospel are flowing in UPG countries. So there, like through this, like Brandon said, doors have been able to be opened among in these countries. Village mayors, communities, and households are welcoming these teams where Christians have been rejected, turned away in the past. And the gospel's clearly presented, and a surprising number of people are believing in Jesus. So here's some statistics from 22 to 24. 81,141 filters have shipped. 115,311 people have heard the gospel. 430,000 people are clean water beneficiaries, and over 14,000 people have received Christ among unreached people groups. It's crazy. So this has all happened since the pandemic. So we're just amazed and overwhelmed at how God is at work. And we're just really thankful to be a part of it. Actually, right a few weeks ago, there was a conference in Western North Carolina about that was focused on reaching unreached people groups at Ridgecrest, but it was canceled because of Hurricane Helene. As you probably all know, Hurricane Helene wiped out Western North Carolina pretty dramatically. If you want to go to the next slide, so. This is not generally part of Filter of Hope's ministry, but as a result of what happened in Western North Carolina with the flooding, if you could go to the next one, the devastation, there it knocked out water supply in America. In America, there was a need for water filters.
Some of the pictures we got back as people connected to Filter of Hope went, people were getting water out of their streams and rivers, stuff you would never think is happening in the U.S., but because of how bad this was, and the flooding was just messed up the water supply, and it's still actually true in some places there, but it really took a hit in places you think this is never happening, but it's our own country.
So this is Dan Davidson, and he and another staff member of Filter of Hope live in Cuba, in North Carolina, and so they took filters, and the first 1,000 filters were supplied by a ministry called the Kids Clean Water Project, where VBSs raise money for filters. And so the kids provided the filters that went to Western North Carolina and helped eliminate the need for the bottles of water they were getting. They could have water in their own homes until the water supplies are back on. And then they just plan on passing them on when they're done. But there are churches in North Carolina who come with us on trips, who are familiar with what we do, who are well acquainted with the filters, who were able to go out and reach their neighbors in the United States because of these water filters.
And have a chance to also share the message of Jesus with these people, not solely give them the filters, but also talk to them about Christ.
And so, and I think, yeah, just you can go to the next, yep. And so this is just a cute picture. And that's the end of our presentation. But we do just really want to say thank you for your partnership with us over the years. As we've ministered, as we've served in Chicago, we still continue to serve in Chicago. We're still working in our church, working with our neighbors, working as deacons, serving as deacons at our church. But we're going to start bringing Chicago churches to Latin America in the future. But we are just really thankful for your partnership.
And thanks for just giving us a chance to be with you and share some of what we're doing today. We appreciate it.
It's great to be here. We will clean up our mess now.
I'd like to pray for you guys before you go anywhere else.
We need Jesus.
We'll stay here.
Yeah, right.
We'll take it. Psalm 146, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Brandon and Mandy to this ministry. Thank you for the opportunities that they've already had, and I pray that you'd continue to open up doors Thank you for the families that you've brought to Jesus through this. And I pray that you'd bless Brandon and Mandy and their family as they involve themselves in this ministry. Bless those who go on the short-term trips as they get to see you at work firsthand. And I pray, Lord, that many people would come to salvation through this. And also just sharing, just caring for people's physical needs, knowing that you love the poor. You love those who are in need and are sick and are hurting. And I pray that you would show your compassion to them through this ministry. So thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you for saving us and making us clean through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.